Welcome back to the Death Shifter Den. We have another exciting episode for you today.
This one's for any listeners who've ever had a wet dream.
So, everyone?
You guys are gross. There's water in this episode.
And mermaids. But don't worry, somebody already ruined that for everyone.
It wasn't much of a spoiler. Our mermaids are a lot different than what the listeners are probably used to.
See? I didn't spoil shit.
Whatever. Just don't give anything else away.
Alright, enough bickering. The two of you sound like Callie and Wesley right now.
Seriously, let's just move on before someone spoils something else.
Here, here. Let's move over to our mailroom.
It looks like we only received one question this week. It comes from DBZKing311.
The question is, why didn't Clay become the actual laser that killed him instead of the laser gun in episode 2?
Oh boy, that's a toughie. Someone was paying attention. Well, I'll take this one. Basically, Clay can only become inanimate objects that kill him, and a laser is like light and heat, and those aren't really tangible, so... But also, this is sci-fi fantasy, so don't read into it too much.
Yeah, there'll be some crazy things and stuff that'll happen to Clay and his friends. I wouldn't get caught up in the possibility of it happening in real life.
We're already aware that this couldn't happen to you or any of us, so for all those kids listening out there...
Don't fucking kill yourself or your friends hoping to be turned into something cool like Clay. None of you are death shifters.
Jesus, I hope no kids are listening to this.
I hear our death guide coming. We need to set up our trap to get him to stay this time.
Episode 3, Aqua Hose Before Surfy Bros. Light flashes around Clay and his friends, blinding them. The light fades and they find themselves standing in the white room of the science lab. Leroy busts through the door and waves to them to hurry.
We must make haste. I saw everything that happened and I heard Vlad. There is no time for me to explain, but the only way for you to see Paul is to leave now with the centaurs. The five of you must make it to Rusta Lake before the sun sets tonight. If you don't, then your chance of seeing Paul will be lost and you'll have to wait 50 years for a second chance.
Before anyone can say anything, the four centaur brothers trot in. Cloyd steps forward.
It is so great to see all of you again, but we better hoof it, eh?
Floyd steps in front of his brother and looks at the friends.
We need to move quickly. The traffic from the city will start in 2 hours.
Floyd laughs behind them.
There's no way we'll get stuck behind that.
Their brother Floyd starts to grow impatient.
Oi, what are we doing pissing about then? The five of you hurry and hop on our backs. Let's go.
Clay looks to his friends and shrugs his shoulders.
Vlad did say that Leroy would know what to do.
Callie and Barry hop onto Floyd's back. Herman jumps onto Cloyd's while Wesley looks at Clay.
Which centaur do you want to ride? Floyd's definitely thicker, but Floyd looks faster.
Floyd gets offended.
How dare you? Hop on and I'll show you how much faster I am than him.
Floyd scoffs while looking at Clay.
It's settled then. Jump on, human. Let's make the two of them eat their words.
Clay jumps onto Floyd and secures himself.
Let's roll!
Wesley laughs while readying himself on Floyd.
My wings are shaking because of how cool you just sounded there, loser. Let's crush him, Floyd.
The two centaurs take off into a sprint out of the lab while carrying Wesley and Clay on their backs. Floyd starts to trot behind them while Cloyd follows with Herman on his back.
There's no way we can sprint like that with the weight we're carrying.
Callie smacks her hand down onto his back.
You calling me fat?
Barry laughs while sitting behind her.
Do you even gallop, bro? An elf and pixie can't be that much extra work.
Cloyd laughs with them.
He is a scientist after all, Larry.
Herman scoffs while looking at Floyd.
What do you mean by the weight you're carrying? I'll have you know I've been taking care of my figure. I also happen to be a scientist.
Floyd chuckles.
It's different for you and I, Orc. I did nothing but science. Clearly you had other hobbies as well. Your friends are proof of that.
Callie smirks while rubbing his back.
Aw, someone's parents didn't let their little horsey out to play.
Barry joins in, not catching Kelly's sarcasm.
That's awful. Everyone deserves a friend.
Herman nods his head.
Yeah, you're right. I spend my time with other things like drinking meat and lifting weights, but having my friends around is what keeps me focused and motivated.
Callie can't help herself and erupts into laughter.
Wait. Do you guys hear yourselves? How can two self-proclaimed scientists be so stupid? I can't.
Floyd turns and looks at his brother, Cloyd.
As dumb as it may sound, it's true. I never listened to you. I found out the hard way by pushing everyone away.
Callie stops laughing and starts to tear up.
Shit, you were being serious?
Barry pats her on the back.
You see, Cal? That's why you shouldn't be an insensitive asshole all the time.
Callie chuckles to herself.
It's definitely a work in progress.
Barry laughs and punches her on the arm.
I'm just fucking with you. You shouldn't change a thing, doll.
Callie wipes her face while Herman looks over, smiling.
We wouldn't have stayed around you if we didn't think you were great the way you are.
As the friends have their little moment, Floyd snickers while looking to the side of the road.
Oh, so which one of you won the race?
The two centaurs, along with Callie, Barry, and Herman, laugh as they pass by Doid and Floyd on the side of the road, gasping for air. Clay yells out to them.
You don't need to say anything.
Wesley joins in.
Well, the race was a bad idea. We definitely thought these two were in better shape.
Floyd stands to his feet and looks at Wesley.
Let's want to catch up to them losers.
Wesley and Clay push each other before running and jumping onto the centaur's backs. Floyd and Floyd take off, running for the others up ahead. Back in the science lab, Leroy sits alone, staring at the sledgehammer Clay turned into when he died.
How is it possible? No science I've ever seen can cause that.
He picks it up and starts to examine it closely. Larry walks in with his sister Perry following behind him.
Hey, boss, why are you staring at that hammer like that?
Perry laughs. You start to finally go crazy on us? Leroy laughs while placing the sledgehammer on the table.
Not yet, Perry. This inanimate object is what Clay Treader turned into, and Vlad killed him with it.
He reaches over and picks up the laser gun.
The necklace I found struck him, and he was sewn back into his human body. His friends tested the ability of his out and killed him with the laser gun you two made.
Larry sits down next to him, intrigued.
Did he become the gun after being killed by it?
Leroy nods his head.
He did. The necklace worked again, and Clay was back in his body once again. Could it actually be?
Perry sits down next to them with her gnome eyes wide open. No, every ounce of magic was taken from this world when the Fae stopped the asteroid. Leroy stands to his feet and walks out of the science lab.
Maybe. But if there was just one drop of magic that was spared or hidden somewhere, it would be everything in a world like ours.
Larry looks to his sister, concerned.
He had that look in his eyes again.
Perry nods. I saw it too. We need to stay by his side. The two gnomes jump to their feet and chase after Leroy. Clay and his friends continue down the path that the centaurs are taking them. Herman sits up and looks through the trees.
I can still see the city. I'm not sure we've gone far enough yet.
Barry stands up on the back of Floyd and looks with him.
Shit, he's right. It's mega rush hour.
Floyd looks down at his phone. A map appears with a line going to the left through the Musky Mountains.
There's the bridge I've been looking for. It's the only way for us to avoid the traffic and get to Roster Lake on time.
The centaurs make the sharp left turn and head for the bridge. Callie looks up at the barely visible sign.
Why the fuck are we going to Musky Mountain? Everybody knows to avoid this place.
Wesley holds on to Deloitte with a tighter grip.
Are you guys sure about this? I mean, I'm not really scared or anything. I just want to make sure that this is the right choice.
Floyd runs behind them, carrying Clay.
Vlad has been sending crews of researchers through every day. The machines that they have clear the musk from the air and reveals the monsters within the mountain.
Barry nervously laughs.
Monsters? That's comforting.
Cloyd smirks while leading the way.
With the nasty musk gone, eh? The monsters stay in the shadows. They really don't like being seen.
Clay looks around at everyone confused.
It seems like I'm the only one here that doesn't understand. What is so important about the musk, and why does it matter for the monsters?
Herman smiles wide while looking at Clay.
The reddish-brown color mist you see floating around is secreted from the monsters that used to be normal deer. But because of the environment changing so rapidly without magic, they became what they are now. Super interesting, right?
Clay nods his head.
Actually, yeah, I wasn't aware of that. How many other animals were affected by the sudden change?
Barry turns around and looks at him.
Too many to count, Clay. The ones that couldn't adapt became monstrous creatures who feed in the dark.
Floyd yells out to everyone.
Boy, that's enough. Let's just get on there through the mountains with no problems, eh?
They continue through and find the path where the musk separates. As they make their way around, Clay looks in the air at where the mountain wall should be.
This is definitely scary. I can't see a thing off this path.
Callie nods.
Yeah, as if this shit mist wasn't enough once the sun goes down, it's a literal nightmare.
Herman looks ahead and notices something run across the path.
Holy Orc of July! Did anyone else just see that?
Floyd laughs.
Very funny. There's nothing there.
They continue their way down the path and make it to a dead end. Floyd looks at his phone that has no service.
Shit, this has to be right. The path doesn't end like this.
As they look around to find the way to go, they hear a loud screeching noise. Clay hops off of Lloyd and walks over to the wall blocking their way. He sticks his hand out and knocks on it.
What the hell? This isn't a normal wall.
Wesley jumps off Lloyd and stands next to Clay. He places his hand on the wall and looks at Herman.
Yo, Herman! You gotta check this out!
Herman jumps off of Clay and walks over. His hand meets the wall and his eyes open wide.
This isn't part of the mountain. Someone must have put it here.
The same shriek from before fills the air around them. Callie jumps off of Floyd and walks over to Herman. She touches the wall and looks over to Barry.
This is odd. I'm having serious deja vu of the time I went to Barry's hometown, Luminessa.
Barry flies off of Floyd and joins the others. They place their hands on the wall. Their pixie wings start to flutter while a door forms. Floyd looks over at his brothers.
This is where Leroy told us to leave you. We can go no further.
Clay turns around to reply, but before he can, the centaurs are gone and the musk starts to form around them. The screeching gets louder as the musk closes in on them. Clay turns to Barry.
If we're going through that door, we need to go now.
Barry opens the door and the five friends pile through. Herman slams it shut and the door disappears. He walks over and puts his ear against the wall. One scratch turns into thousands as he backs away and turns to Barry.
Wow, that was close. I can't believe we made it through in time. How were we able to get through that odd door?
Barry looks around while standing.
Because it's made of pixie dust. Not the magical kind, of course, but nanobots that cloak the door to any non-pixie creature.
Clay laughs while helping Callie to her feet.
Now that sounds like magic to me.
Callie laughs with him.
I thought the same thing.
Wesley jumps to his feet and looks around. He notices a river flowing through the scattered trees.
Even I know it isn't magic. Herman can explain the science behind it if you need him to.
Clay shakes his head.
Nah, I'm not going to question it at this point.
Wesley laughs.
Good. How about we follow this river and get to Rossa Lake before sundown?
Barry floats into the air to get a better look.
Lake, dead ahead! About a 20-minute walk unless y'all can sprout wings like mine.
Herman looks up at the sun, nearing the mountain horizon in the distance.
The sun's going down quicker than that, so we should hurry up already.
Herman looks to Wesley and Barry. They nod their heads before he runs over and grabs Clay and Callie. Wesley and Barry use their wings to fly forward faster, while Herman takes massive strides to keep up with them. Callie scoffs.
Oh, look, Herm, your wildest dreams have come true. You finally got to wrap your arms around me.
Herman laughs.
This is out of necessity. You don't need to flatter yourself.
Clay gets comfortable while looking at Wesley and Barry.
Well, who's telling the truth here?
Wesley starts to crack up, causing him to almost hit a tree. He catches his breath while looking back at him.
Herman doesn't need to try. She just lets anybody touch her.
Barry starts to laugh before stopping and looking at Callie.
Herman's too nice a guy to do that to Bernice.
Callie stares back with anger in her eyes.
Shut the fuck up, Wesley. You're just jealous because you haven't had any ass in an actual dragon's age. Also, I have been around for a long time. Trust me, I know men.
Herman scoffs while tossing Callie over to Barry and Wesley.
You guys take her. She's getting too heavy with all these lies weighing her down.
Wesley and Barry catch Callie by the legs and fly her the rest of the way. She struggles back and forth.
So help me, Cthulhu. You better not drop me.
They get to the edge of the trees and look out to the giant lake. Herman takes a deep breath.
Are you guys smelling that? I think Rasta Lake is just ahead.
Wesley laughs while walking forward.
Really, Herm? We can all see it.
They all laugh while moving closer to the lake. Clay stands next to the water, looking around.
Well, we made it here before sundown. What now?
Barry sits down and puts their feet in the water.
We gotta take a load off and enjoy this sunset. I hate hiking.
Callie and Wesley join Barry and place their feet in the water. Herman looks over at Clay.
Screw that. I'm not letting something take my feet and drag me in.
Clay laughs while joining the others. He places his feet in the water while looking back at Herman.
Ha! Live a little, Herm. Plus, it'll help your big orc feet since we've been walking so much.
Herman joins them and nervously puts his feet into the water. He sits back with a smile on his face.
Clay, you're right. This feels good.
A couple of seconds pass, and Herman pulls his feet out while screaming.
Oh, fuck no. I told you guys I didn't want this to happen. Something just grabbed me.
Wesley starts to laugh at him.
Oh, come on, Herm. Prove you aren't such a wuss.
As he says that, something grabs his feet and he jumps out of the water.
Yep, just kidding. Something definitely just grabbed me too.
Clay, Barry, and Callie take their feet out of the water and back away. The five friends stare at it as it starts to bubble. Suddenly, a merman splashes out of the water, landing in front of them. He stands, wearing a Rastafarian hat with tentacles coming out of it like dreadlocks, and a trident in his hand.
Yeah, man. I've been waiting for the five of you to get here.
Clay looks to his friends before stepping forward.
You knew we were coming? How?
The merman laughs while pulling out a giant half of a clam with a bubble-like dome covering the top of it.
Dude, Paul sent me up to the surface to get you. Hop into Clammy and I'll take you down.
He tosses them underwater breathing masks.
Here, take these masks, dudes. You'll be able to breathe in the city. We have to hurry, though. Paul only comes up to visit once every 50 years. His stubbornness grows with his age, man.
Clay and the others catch a mask before climbing aboard the clam. The dome shuts down over them as the merman starts to pull them underwater. Wesley puts his hand on the dome while looking at the merman.
Are you going to tell us your name? Or the name of the city you're taking us to?
The merman starts to laugh.
I forgot that you surfy bros don't see very many of us sea people anymore. My name is Troy, and I am one of the many Aquafarians.
Barry snickers.
Aquafarians? Seriously?
Troy proudly swims deeper into the water.
Laugh if you want, dude, but we are a proud people that left the Myrmizons long ago to live out of hiding. Paul is the only one we stay in contact with. That is why this day is very important. The five of you are extremely lucky to get the opportunity to meet him. He is an ancient.
Callie looks out into the distance to see a city of lights glowing back at her.
In all my years, I really can't believe it. Is this winter's dawn?
Troy smiles.
You're smarter than you look. It is the one and only winter's dawn that was thought to be lost ages ago.
Herman sits forward.
I can't believe all the stuff we've got to see in the last couple days. Different machines in Falfar, all the lab equipment, now the lost city of Winter's Dawn. Thanks for showing up when you did, Clay.
Wesley chuckles softly.
Yeah, thanks, Clay. I really appreciate it. I've seen some pretty amazing things since knowing you.
Callie scoffs.
Still think it's Centaur shit that you gotta see Breitbark? Not like I've always dreamed of going there or anything.
Barry laughs while looking back at Clay.
What Callie means by that is thank you. We're all happy to have met a deadhead like you, Clay.
Clay smiles back at them.
You guys are the ones that took me in and let me join your group. I wouldn't have wanted to wake up to anyone else.
The five of them hug while Troy looks back at them.
Ugh, calm down back there, dudes. Clammy isn't made for orgies.
Callie laughs while pushing away from the group hug.
Well, besides Clay, everyone's pretty meh. I did kiss Barry once, but pixie dust didn't exactly fly.
Wesley looks over and raises an eyebrow.
Wait. The two of you kissed? Are you sure there was nothing there?
Barry smiles wide while nodding.
Oh yeah, sure as I am, our driver's stoned.
Herman nudges Wesley.
I bet you're disappointed you didn't get to see that, huh, Wesley?
Before Wesley can respond, Troy interrupts them.
I hate to interrupt whatever's going on here, but we've arrived at Winter's Dawn.
The five look out of the dome and see a massive city made from gold and silver. Thousands of different colored lights shine throughout the city. Herman turns and looks at Clay.
Clay, this is amazing. We all thought that the city was lost on Fae Day.
A wall opens up on one of the buildings, and Troy swims them through, landing down onto a platform.
The lost city of Winter's Dawn was never destroyed. The ground around it was broken by how powerful the magic was that day. It sank into the ground and ended up in the water below. When us Aquafarians left the deep, we stumbled across it and made it our own.
He waits for the wall to close on the building before opening the dome on top of Clammy.
When you are inside our buildings, you won't need the masks I gave you.
Clay jumps out before turning to help Callie and Barry.
Where is Paul? And where are we?
Herman and Wesley jump out and stand next to them as Troy turns and presses a button on the podium behind him.
This is our docking bay. Paul is going to be in the celebration hall where he holds all of our...
Wesley jumps forward, interrupting him.
All of your celebrations?
Troy looks back at him, annoyed.
No. I was going to say important meetings. Anyways, Paul will be waiting for you there. He requested to see the five of you last.
The platform they're standing on starts to move down towards the bottom of the building. The floors they pass have different Aquafarians doing various activities. Barry looks at Callie.
Huh. Kind of looks like the dive we almost moved into.
Callie laughs. This place makes that one look like a shithole. Troy smiles.
Our docking bay is rented out to those that have trouble with living a more lavish lifestyle.
Callie looks back at Barry, embarrassed.
So this place is literally for the burnout bros? It still makes our place look like a hot dumpster fire.
Barry turns to her with a sad look on their face.
Huh, maybe it is better down where it's wetter.
Troy laughs while pressing the button on the podium and stopping the platform.
We Aquafarians like to stay away from you surface dwellers. Surfy bros are what we call you. Normally we don't let your kind down into our city, but because Paul requested you himself, we have to have this one exception. With that being said, you guys do seem pretty cool.
Clay looks around, noticing the other Aquafarians staring at them.
Let's just get to Paul before the rest of your people decide to go against your exception.
Troy looks around with him and sees his people eyeing the Surfy Bros. He yells out to them.
Hey, our friends here are welcomed by Poseidon himself. If you disagree, then you will have to take it up with him.
The other Aquafarians turn back around and go about their business while Wesley laughs at Troy.
Did you just say Poseidon? There's no way he goes by that.
Herman can't help it and laughs with him before stopping and looking at Wesley.
I've always heard that Poseidon was just a normal Myrmizon. That was a great king who led his people to prosperity. Over the years, the rulers combined his name with theirs as a way to honor him.
Barry steps off the platform and makes their way to the door while putting on the mask Troy gave them. They stop and look back.
This Poseidon guy must be who Vlad was talking about. We gotta meet him.
Clay nods his head while following behind and putting on his mask.
I agree. We need to meet this Poseidon, even if he is a lunatic.
Troy laughs while turning to Herman and Callie.
Whoa! Hold your seahorses, Surfy Bros. The two of you better put on your masks, too. And I wouldn't call him a lunatic, but he is a bit different.
Callie and Herman put their masks on while joining Clay and Barry. The four of them watch as Troy opens the door up to the massive city. They run out and jump through the door, splashing into the water and swimming out to a park with kelp and seaweed growing tall like trees. Troy swims out in front of them.
Stay close and I'll take you to the celebration hall.
Wesley and Herman snicker while following behind him. Clay turns to Barry and Callie.
Keep an eye out on those two. If the dude goes by Poseidon, then he has to be powerful, right?
Callie nods her head.
This Poseidon guy better be powerful or else he's gonna look like an ocean-sized douche.
Barry laughs while swimming forward with Callie.
Yeah, Poseidon's a douche bro name for sure.
Clay smiles while following them.
Vladimir von said that it was of utter importance for us to meet Paul. Who knows how long it's been since they've seen each other, though.
The five friends continue to follow Troy through the underwater city. They swim underneath a bridge into a tunnel that leads them to a door. He stops and looks at the friends with his trident pointing at Clay.
I'm sorry, bro, but I was instructed to do this to make sure that you're the dudes Vlad sent.
He thrusts the trident forward, stabbing it into Clay's chest. Clay turns to his friends and mutters a few words while dying.
Are you fucking kidding me?
His body goes limp on the ground while the static noise fills his head. A blast of light surrounds him and sends him back to his death guide. The green and gray lights appear along with the couch and TV. Clay stands to his feet and walks over.
Why is that TV always going off when I come here? Where's DG?
He looks around to see nothing but darkness beyond the couch and TV. Clay walks over and shuts it off before sitting down and thinking to himself.
Maybe he's out running errands or something? I'll just sit here and wait for him to show up.
A couple of minutes pass before a loud scream comes from behind Clay.
Clay, hurry! I need your help!
Clay jumps off the couch and runs toward DG's voice. As he gets closer, his necklace with the serrated daggers on it starts to glow blue. Clay stops and grabs onto it.
What are you?
A voice softly speaks out from the necklace.
I can speak again! Clay! Clay is your name! I can't remember mine or why I share a bond with you, but I know that much.
Clay stares at the necklace in disbelief.
You're alive and can talk? What the fuck is going on?
Before the necklace can respond, DG shouts again.
Clay, please.
Clay grasps the necklace close while taking off towards DG's voice again. After a couple of seconds, he finds him standing on a cliff, staring off the edge toward the bottom of a canyon.
DG, what's going on?
DG lifts his hand and points down into the canyon.
I'm the only one left.
Clay walks to the edge of the cliff and looks down to see millions of bodies in hooded robes similar to DG's.
How are there so many of them?
DG falls to his knees while covering his face with his hands.
I can't remember. There were others just like me, and I can't remember any of them.
Clay places his hand on DG's back.
We'll figure it out. The three of us are here together for a reason.
DG stands to his feet and looks at Clay, confused.
Three of us? You found your friend that was with us before?
Clay nods his head while holding out the necklace to him.
I think so. This necklace is what transfers me back into my real body. That's all I know.
The necklace in his hand flashes blue before speaking to them.
It appears that the bond between us is stronger than whoever did this to us, Clay.
DG stares at Clay.
You've gotta be kidding. A talking necklace?
Clay shrugs his shoulders.
The three of us are connected somehow. We have to figure out what's going on together. Here, take a closer look at it and see if you see anything.
Clay tosses the necklace over to DG. He catches it, and immediately the necklace and him start to flash blue. Clay runs over and tries to grab it from him, only to be caught in the same trance as them. After a couple of seconds, the blue light fades away, releasing them. Clay looks over at DG.
What just happened?
Before DG can respond, the necklace floats in the air and turns to Clay before speaking again.
There are so many unanswered questions left for us to discover, my friend.
It flies toward him and wraps around his neck. Clay looks at DG.
Something tells me that the three of us will be together a lot more than we thought.
DG smiles at him while a bubbling noise is heard under his robe.
You and that necklace are apparently all that I have left now. Be careful out there, Clay. Somebody has to be responsible for this.
Clay nods his head while his hands start to fade away.
Thanks, DG. I'll see you again the next time I die.
Clay completely fades away. A burst of light shines bright before disappearing. He looks around and sees his friends again.
What did I miss while being gone?
Barry flies over to him as the trident and picks him up.
Yeesh, didn't miss anything, Clay. You were just gutted a second ago.
Clay jumps out of their hand and stands alone as the trident.
That's impossible. I had to be in that weird dream world with my death guide for at least 5 minutes before becoming this trident.
Herman walks over and examines him closely.
That is odd. You must be hallucinating when you die.
Callie smacks Herman on the back.
It's amazing that you would be making that assumption when you have zero experience with that, among other things.
Clay gets irritated while turning away from them.
They're not hallucinations. The death guide is real.
Herman walks over to pick up Clay's body lying on the ground in the tunnel. As he lifts it over his shoulder, Wesley notices the necklace flashing blue.
So, Clay, I mean to talk to you. Have you ever figured out anything about this necklace and that weird-ass death guide world of yours?
Clay walks over as the trident and looks up at the necklace with Wesley.
It spoke to me and said I shared a bond with it in DG. It didn't really explain anything else to me, though. Both it and the death guide seem to have the same memory problem as me.
Troy swims over to him and bows.
I am sorry for the unexpected blow, dude, but Poseidon requested that I do that before letting you and your friends through. He wanted to be sure. Now please, follow me inside. He's waiting for you.
Clay reaches over and grabs the necklace. It stops flashing blue while wrapping itself around where his neck is on the trident. He looks over to Troy and nods.
Take us to him.
Clay and his friends follow Troy through the door at the end of the tunnel and take off their masks. They walk through to a massive open room outlined with platinum and gold. Red and blue carpets make up the ground while silver chandeliers hang from the ceiling. They follow the carpets and get to a staircase that leads up to a throne where a myrmizon much bigger than Troy sits. A crown made from emeralds and sapphires rests on his head while he holds two sword-shaped like tridents in his hands. The myrmizon stands and bows to Clay and his friends before sheathing his weapons on his back.
It appears my old friend Vlad was being honest about you, Clay Trader. Still, I had to be sure myself before letting you into the great city of Winter's Dawn.
Clay turns to his friends before looking back at the myrmizon, wearing nothing but a loincloth with tattoos and scars covering the rest of his body.
Thank you for allowing us into Winter's Dawn. You must be the great Poseidon.
Wesley and Herman snicker quietly. Callie turns and punches both of them on the arm.
If y'all don't shut the fuck up, underwater Tarzan is going to turn us into fish food.
Before they can respond, Poseidon notices and swims at the blink of an eye over to them. He stands taller than Herman, looking down at the two of them.
No harm, no foul. My name is pretty funny, isn't it?
Wesley and Herman nervously nod their heads while Callie and Barry look on in embarrassment. Poseidon erupts into laughter.
It really is, but I had to stick with the traditions of my ancestors and what my grandfather Poseidon started.
Honestly, I don't know why I got named Paul when everyone else in my family has a cool name.
Herman smiles while carrying Clay's body.
I knew it. The legends are true.
Poseidon nods his head while swimming back towards the throne.
They are, but a lot has probably been left out of your history books. Not only do I share a name with the great Poseidon, but his knowledge and skills are stored into these two blades. They get passed down generation to generation to the next king or queen, giving them unimaginable information that's been lost. Really ties the family tree together.
Fairy gets excited and jumps forward.
So, you wouldn't happen to know anything about our boy Clay's unique condition, would you?
The Myrmizon waves for Clay and his friends to approach his throne.
I have very little information on what's going on with you, Clay, but I do have the whereabouts of the book that Vlad sent me here for. Unfortunately, it's no longer here in Winter's Dawn. I gave it to someone way more responsible than me, man. Vlad knew that.
Callie gets irritated while sitting down on the steps of the stairs.
Ugh, Vlad is such a dick.
Clay looks forward at Poseidon.
Vlad told us that it was of utter importance to come and speak to you. There has to be a reason, especially if he knew that you didn't even have the book.
Poseidon stands to his feet and grabs Clay as the trident. He looks past Troy at another Myrmizon entering the celebration hall.
Hey, you were banished from Winter's Dawn the last time I was here, brother. Leave at once, man.
He throws Clay forward, narrowly missing his brother and hitting the wall behind him. The Myrmizon stops next to Troy and pulls out a small dagger. He places it on Troy's neck while looking up at Poseidon.
It's so good to see you too, Paul. How have the great depths been treating you?
Poseidon pulls out his two swords and swims toward his brother, stopping in front of him and Troy.
Remove the knife from Troy's throat and fight with me, Tevin.
Barry looks over to Callie.
Tevin, seriously?
Callie smiles while looking over at Clay, stuck in the wall as a trident.
At least Paul's name flows well, unlike Tev-Sidon. Anyway, we should probably give Clay a hand.
The two walk over to Wesley and Herman before making their way to Clay. Wesley grabs onto Clay and pulls him out of the wall.
Don't worry, I got you, bud.
Clay brushes himself off before standing tall as the trident. He looks on at Poseidon, yelling at his brother.
Your chance of becoming king is long gone, brother. Don't be a drag. Leave and I won't be forced to kill you.
Tevin scoffs at him while gripping the handle on the knife tighter.
My chance of becoming Tevin-Sidon never happened because of you. You stole it away from me and then banished me.
Tevin slides the knife, slicing Troy's neck open. He drops to the floor while Poseidon screams in anger.
Troy! You bastard!
He charges forward, swinging his swords at Tevin, but he dodges back and forth, avoiding the attacks. Tevin pulls out a mace and a whip and blocks Poseidon's next attack. He smiles wide while looking into his brother's eyes.
I've waited a long time for this. Your reign is finally over, Paul.
He pushes Poseidon back and swings the whip around, knocking him to the ground. He charges at him and swings the mace down. Poseidon blocks it with his two swords, but the force causes them to fly out of his hands, leaving him open for another blow. Clay turns and looks at Herman.
We have an opening, Herm. Throw me into Tevin's back. You three try to get Poseidon's swords. We can't let his brother get them.
Callie, Barry, and Wesley run over towards Poseidon on the ground. They reach for the swords, but Tevin uses his whip to knock them back.
With this, Surfy Bros trying to help the great Poseidon? Isn't that ironic, brother? You casted anyone aside if they went against your no-surface-dweller rule.
Herman puts Clay's body down before grabbing the trident. Clay nods and readies himself. Herman plants his left foot into the ground before lunging forward and throwing Clay at Tevin.
Go get him, Clay. Stab his ass.
Clay flies through the air as the trident before piercing into Tevin's back. He looks behind him to see Clay sticking out of him.
I see why you have these surfy bros down here now.
He reaches back and grabs Clay. Callie looks to Barry and Wesley while running towards Tevin.
Remember back when I said you guys should sword fight? Well, now's the time. Grab Paul's swords and use that same energy. I'll help Clay.
Barry and Wesley run and dive to the ground, grabbing both of the swords. Barry turns and looks at Poseidon.
Are you good, man? Can you fight?
He tries to stand to his feet, but falls back down.
I'm sorry. I cannot. The whip is like some kind of toxin. Be careful.
His eyes close as the toxin puts him to sleep. Wesley looks over at Barry.
Well, that took a shitty turn.
Barry nods while yelling out to the others.
Don't let the whip touch you! It's toxic!
Callie smiles while running and jumping towards Tevin, trying to pull Clay out of his back. She lands on his side and grabs the small dagger he used to kill Troy.
Unfortunately, you fucked with the wrong surfy bros, Tevin.
She stabs him in the gut before jumping off of him. He turns and swings his mace after her, but she backflips away to Herman. Callie tosses the knife to him.
Seriously, fucking Tevin. Here, I'm gonna help Clay. Keep him busy.
Herman smiles while charging forward at the Myrmazon. He turns and looks at the orc running at him.
Brute force won't win this for you.
Herman laughs.
Oh, I know.
He swings the knife forward, hitting Tevin's mace. As the two are in a standstill, Callie sneaks behind them and pushes Clay further into Tevin's back before pulling him out. Again, she flips away while Herman retreats. Tevin stands staring at the two of them with anger in his eyes.
You surfy bros have no right to interfere. Now die!
He swings his whip around, getting ready to attack. But before he can, Barry and Wesley fly into the air toward him. They slice the two swords down, cutting up his arms, before landing down next to the others. Tevin falls to his knees while continuing to laugh.
You really think the four of you can defeat me?
Wesley scoffs.
What a dumbass. He doesn't realize Clay is the trident and there's actually five of us.
Callie and Barry chuckle. Herman stops them and looks at them while holding Clay.
We can use Clay to our advantage. Tevin doesn't know what will happen to Clay if he's killed.
Barry nods.
Good point. We should turn his icky whip against him.
Wesley looks over at Callie.
As much as I hate to say this, you're the most agile out of all of us. But if you take Clay and get close enough, maybe you can get him to whip it real good.
Herman smiles wide.
I agree with Wesley. You're our best chance, Callie. You can attack him head on with Clay to trick Tevin to use his whip on him.
Clay smirks.
We got this, Callie.
Callie walks over to Herman and grabs the trident. She takes a deep breath while grasping Clay tightly.
Well, well, well. I always knew the day would come where I'd have to save everyone's ass. Again.
She sprints forward as Tevin stands to his feet. He grins while watching her ready the trident to attack him.
I'm not gonna fall for that again.
He swings the whip forward in the air before launching it at her. Herman yells out.
Now's your chance, Callie.
Callie slides on the ground while sticking Clay into the air. The whip misses her and wraps around Clay. Callie stands to her feet and retreats back to her friends. Tevin uses his whip to squeeze the trident. He laughs while looking at the friends.
The four of you seem to enjoy using this trident instead of Poseidon's blades. How about I destroy this and you come give me what's rightfully mine?
Wesley and Barry hold the swords, ready to strike. Tevin continues to laugh while the whip squeezes Clay tighter. His breath starts to slow as he looks to his friends with a smile on his face. The flash of light blinds him, taking him deep into the Death Guide world. The green and gray lights shine, revealing DG sitting alone on the couch. This time, there is no static, and the TV is off. Clay walks over and sits down next to him.
Hey, man. Are you doing okay?
Smoke trickles out of DG's hood as he turns and looks at Clay.
Honestly, I thought it was funny that you couldn't remember anything. That was just a way for me to deny the fact that I can't remember anything either. I don't know what to do, Clay.
Before he can respond, the necklace around his neck flashes blue.
The three of us need to stick together and worry about how to get our memories back. If we fixate on their absence, we'll never get them back.
DG looks back at Clay.
I feel like your necklace has a lot of good things to say, man.
Clay laughs while standing off the couch.
It's right, though. We have to keep moving forward.
The necklace flashes blue again.
I've tried communicating with you outside of this world, Clay. It appears that I can only do so while we are here.
Clay nods.
That's good to know. How come you haven't transferred me back into my body yet like you did back in the science lab?
The necklace flashes again.
The bond we share allows me to know when you want to be transferred back. So far, I haven't sensed that feeling since you had it in the science lab.
Clay smiles.
That's because I haven't had that feeling. Fighting Tevin seemed like a better choice as the trident. Shit, I need to get back there to help.
DG laughs while sitting back on the couch.
Time works differently here. Didn't you figure that out last time you left?
Clay looks back at him while a bubbling sound is heard under DG's hood.
Oh yeah, last time I was here for a little over 5 minutes, and when I got back I had just been stabbed by Troy.
The necklace flashes once more.
There's a sensation pulling me back! We must go!
Clay looks down to see his body fading away. A flash of light blinds him again before dissipating. He opens his eyes to Tevin's hand on him. He smiles while looking at the rest of his body as the whip.
Hey, asshole!
Tevin stops laughing and looks down at his whip. Clay uses his new body and swings around him in the air before wrapping himself around Tevin. He falls to the ground, trying to pry Clay off of him.
What? How could this be?
Callie walks over with her friends following behind her.
Really, Tev? That somehow doesn't sound any better. Anyway, are you fucking stupid? Clay was literally a trident the entire time.
Herman laughs while dropping Clay's body in front of him.
Yeah, that was pretty dumb of you not to notice. I mean, what kind of trident has limbs and a face?
Wesley grabs the necklace off of Clay's body and brings it close to him as the whip.
So, are you ready to get back into your own skin?
Clay squeezes tighter around Tevin.
Yeah, check this out.
He closes his eyes and the necklace flashes blue while floating out of Wesley's hand. It shoots over to the whip, piercing the leather on it. The whip loosens around Tevin as he falls to the ground. He struggles to keep his eyes open while watching Clay's lifeless body start to move.
How is this possible?
Clay stands to his feet and starts to stretch. He looks back at Tevin as he slowly falls asleep.
There's no room in the world for someone like you. I can see why you lost your chance of becoming king to your brother.
He turns around and looks at his friends.
Holy shit, that was fucking insane.
Barry flies over laughing.
That was so badass.
Wesley joins them while jumping up and down.
We just defeated a Myrmizon in combat. No one can say that shit.
Callie winks at Wesley while walking over, holding both of the blades.
Oh, I've been in a lot of scraps in my day, and it was a pleasure to have you all by my side. Even you, Wes.
Herman walks past them and kneels next to the Myrmizon.
I'm gonna check on Paul Sidon and make sure that he is okay.
Clay walks over and pats Herman on the back.
You did great out there, Herman. Not only did you show us that you're not a wuss, but you acted fast and came up with a plan. Thank you.
Herman smiles while placing his hand on Paul Sidon.
I shouldn't get all the credit. We worked together as a team and got shit done.
Paul Sidon grunts while opening his eyes and sitting up against the stairs.
I see that I've been wrong about you, Surfy Bros. Thank you for saving my life and defeating my brother. If the toxin from his whip doesn't kill him, then he'll be put on trial in front of everyone for killing my boy Troy.
Clay reaches out to help him stand.
Everyone makes mistakes. Those that take action and make up for what they've done are what we need in our world. You and the other Myrmizons can't stay in the great depths forever.
Poseidon looks around at the five friends.
Who would have thought that a human, orc, elf, dragon, and pixie would be the ones to show me what I've done wrong? I will speak with my people when I return later this evening. In the meantime, the five of you need to be honored for your heroics here today.
Before any of them can say no, hundreds of Aquafarians pile into the celebration hall with food and drinks. Poseidon walks up the stairs and sits on his throne. He looks down at them, smiling.
Enjoy yourselves. You've earned it. Hey, Elf, bring me my blades, please.
She scoffs while walking up the stairs with the blades. She hands them to him.
Not like we just saved your throne and thwarted Tevin's plans or anything. I figured the least you could do would be to grab your own shit, but here you go, I guess. You're welcome.
As she walks back down the stairs, he yells down to them.
Come and see me when the festivities are over. There's much to discuss.
Clay and his friends turn around to the Aquafarians, shoving drinks in their faces. One of the females walks over to Wesley and smiles at him.
Hi, my name is Iris. I already know yours, Wesley.
Wesley blushes while Callie shoves him forward.
Looks like someone should go give her the D&D, if you know what I mean.
Wesley nervously laughs while running into Iris.
Sorry, my friend just doesn't know when to shut up.
Iris laughs with him.
It's okay, I think she's funny. So, you're a dragon? I've never seen one before. We've only been told stories of the ancient ones. You're much smaller than I expected.
He gets embarrassed and puts his head down.
Man, why does everyone always think that?
Iris reaches out and grabs his hand.
I didn't mean to offend you. What you did today was amazing. Not even an Aquafarian has been able to defeat a Myrmizon.
Wesley lifts his head and looks back at her.
Really? I mean, yeah. It was pretty impressive, huh? Have you seen my wings?
Iris smiles while pulling him to the dance floor.
It was very impressive. Come and dance with me.
Wesley grins to his friends while giving them a thumbs up. Barry laughs while noticing two Aquafarians smiling at them. They wait for them to come over. Clay smacks them on the back.
They're definitely looking at you.
Barry smiles at him before walking over to the two of them. Callie laughs.
About fucking time everyone enjoyed themselves.
Herman chuckles to himself.
What are you talking about? I do just fine in that department.
The three of them continue laughing while drinking and conversing with the Aquafarians at the party. After a couple of minutes, Wesley yells for Herman.
Herman, get your green thick ass over here!
Iris laughs while watching Herman walk over. Clay looks out at Barry talking with the two Aquafarians before smiling at Callie.
You know what? I've decided to enjoy my life and make new memories with the four of you.
The two of them take a shot before Kelly grins back at him.
Well, good, because I know at least one person that enjoys having you around.
Clay starts to blush.
Oh, come on. You and the others were fine before you found me.
Kelly scoots closer to him and places her hand on his.
As weird as it sounds, I always knew that something was missing.
Clay clears his throat while looking into her pink and yellow eyes.
I don't know what to say. I'm grateful you found me.
She smiles while leaning in. Clay's heart starts to beat faster as he leans toward her. As they're about to kiss, a burning sensation fills Clay's body. He steps back and looks down to see one of Poseidon's blades sticking through his chest. Clay falls to his knees before falling forward onto his face. Herman stands behind him with a book in his hand that says, "The Blades of Poseidon." Callie, shocked, pushes Herman.
Fucking sick, Herman! You twat-blocking son of a bitch! Are you serious right now?
Herman shows her the book while pulling the blade out of Clay's body.
The book says that these blades have the answers we seek, so I figured if Clay becomes them, he might be able to give us those answers.
Barry runs over.
Fuck, Herm, maybe give the guy a fair warning the next time you kill him?
Clay looks up as the blade and agrees.
Yeah, if you would have come to me and asked, "Hey Clay, can I stab you with one of Poseidon's blades so you can get the actual truth?" I would have said yes.
Wesley runs over with Iris.
We should grab Clay's body and his other body, and let's get the hell out of here.
Callie looks at them, confused.
Honestly, what the fuck is going on?
Iris steps forward.
My father, Poseidon, is going to lie to you like he does with everyone. This is the only way for you to find out any truths you came here for.
Before they can leave, Poseidon swims down from his throne and looks to his daughter.
Damn it, Iris. That is what I was planning on doing. But after what they've done here, I've had a change of heart. I was going to tell them everything I know while doing the same thing you did.
Wesley smirks while looking at him.
Wait, so you were going to stab him?
He nods his head.
I was going to stab him.
Realizing they were going to do the same thing, Poseidon, Herman, Wesley, and Iris start to laugh. Barry joins them while Callie stands in disbelief.
You're all out of your fucking minds.
As they continue to laugh, Clay looks at them as the blade.
Ha ha, it's so funny. Let's just keep killing the guy that...
Suddenly, he stops talking and a golden aura surrounds him. Herman looks to the others.
Ooh, this is good. The book described the golden aura.
Poseidon and the other Aquafarians bow down while watching in amazement.
It can't be possible. Poseidon!
The sword turns and smiles at them before erupting into laughter.
Oh man, you should see your faces right now. No, it's still Clay, but I did have some interesting visions just now.
Poseidon and the other Aquafarians laugh it off while Iris walks over to him.
That was actually really funny seeing all of them like that.
She laughs while walking past the others still partying. Wesley looks to Poseidon.
So what now? Were all those visions all you had to show him? Or did you have anything else to tell us?
Clay walks over as the blade and looks up at him.
I understand why you're nervous about letting us surfy bros back into your lives, but it will be all right. You and your people are much stronger now, and you can contribute so much to the society above you.
Poseidon picks him up.
You saw what happened long ago then? I believe that you were right, Clay. I also believe that Vlad sent you here for that very reason. The book was just a way to get you to come.
He looks out at the Aquafarians staring at them in awe, before looking down at Clay's friends.
The five of you are welcome to stay for a couple of days. Enjoy everything Winter's Dawn has to offer. Then I will take you to the half of the book that I still possess.
Clay jumps out of his hand and walks over to his friends as the blade.
I made the last decision for us. This time you guys decide.
Callie laughs while looking around at everyone.
I really hope everyone agrees with me and makes the obvious choice.
Herman nods his head.
Come on, when are we going to get a chance to be here again? There's so much we can learn.
Barry agrees.
Yeah, I agree. Too many opportunities of learning together in unsafe environments.
Wesley walks over and grabs Clay and holds the blade in his hand.
We just have to make sure we're back at the Von's castle by Saturday, or I'm going to be the one making it rain fire.
Clay laughs while jumping out of Wesley's hand. He walks back up the stairs and stands in front of Poseidon.
Show us where we'll be staying.
Poseidon smiles while waving for his daughter to come over.
Iris, man, show our wonderful guests where they'll be staying the next 2 days.
She walks over and stands in front of them before turning and smiling at Wesley.
When you and your friends are ready, I'll escort you there.
Wesley grins wide while jumping forward.
Now? I mean, yeah, cool. I think we're ready.
Herman grabs Clay's body while Callie picks him up as the blade. The four follow behind Iris and Wesley, laughing.
I don't know about you guys, but I liked Rostalake. I'm a little sad about Troy, though.
Yeah, fucking Tevin better get what's coming to him.
He's just misunderstood. Tevin was supposed to become Tev Sidon, and Paul stole that from him. I'd be mad, too.
Tevin fucked his chances up by, well, just being Tevin.
I agree. But anyway, let's sit back and watch the Death Guide.
We left a big tip for him this week, as well as another surprise we think he'll enjoy. Here he goes now.
Son of a bitch took the bait with him and walked away.
Maybe next time we should use a real trap and keep him contained?
I mean, we want him to like us still, right?
Yeah, I don't know how well trapping him would go over. We almost had him with the bong, though.
Almost doesn't count for shit. Next time, we need more. Well, I guess it's time for us to plan and gather some more supplies. But before we go, we want to again thank Anchor for giving us an easy and reliable place to make our podcast. They also distribute it to the different platforms for all of you to listen in, which is pretty sweet. And lastly, remember to follow us on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, or just go to our website at www.deathshifter.com. You'll find all the links there as well as down below in the episode description. If you're interested in supporting us and gaining access to exclusive trailers, bonus episodes, and more, check out our Patreon at patreon.com/deathshifter. Thanks for listening, and remember,
don't forget to tip your dead dad.